I'm going to share the message with you this morning, and it's something that's been developing in my heart over the last couple of months, and I really hope and pray it will be a blessing to all of you. So I want to start with a real-life story of something that happened more or less 3 years ago with two very famous people, if you want to call them that. It's an Afrikaans gospel singer in South Africa and his wife, called Louis Brits and Hetty Brits. They were also speaking at our conference in Stellenbosch last year, September, so they were guest speakers. But what happened to them in February 2010 is they were robbed in their house in Pretoria by four guys, and one of the guys raped Hetty. And it was over all the newspapers. There were many questions. Many people battled with the fact that, you know, he's a gospel artist. He's a gospel singer. He sings songs to God. How can this happen to them? How on earth is this possible? And I just want to talk about exactly this morning, you know, that God, in the midst of something so horrible and so tragic and so almost, you know, how can this happen? It's almost, you almost feel this is impossible. In the midst of that, God still remains God. He still remains love. He still remains faithful. And, you know, what happened that evening is God did the unthinkable by making that woman feel like a bride. Now, where's my picture? You can put it, oh, there's my bride, okay. For those of you who are married, you'll know we all have special memories about our wedding day. And for those of you who still would love to get married, don't worry, you are going to get a husband, all right? This is nothing to worry about. You will have your wedding day. And something that is so amazing about that horrible night that Hetty Brits experienced is God made her feel like a bride. This is her own testimony. This is what she says. God made her feel like a bride. He made her feel in such a way that she was so loved, so cared for, and so protected, even in the midst of such a horrible event. It doesn't make sense. It makes absolutely no sense with our heads. It feels impossible that it can be, you know, that you feel like a bride on the night that you get raped. But this is what happened to her. And something that should have left her angry, bitter, full of hatred and fear had the opposite effect on her life. It changed her in such a way that she can now live a life without fear, which also doesn't make sense. I mean, I can just imagine and put myself in a position and just see myself living not without fear, but with a lot of fear after something like that. And the God that we serve, the God that we glorified this morning in worship, who came and said to us, His love sets us free, that God is the God who made Hetty Brits felt like a bride on that night. And, you know, there's a scripture in John 16, verse 33 that says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that word tribulation, if you go back to the root word, it means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Anything bad you can think of, okay? Anything challenging, that is tribulation. Jesus did not promise us a world without tribulation. But He did promise us a world that He has overcome. Amen? He did not promise us a world without tribulation. But He did promise us a world that He has overcome. And I want to give you a few tools this morning. I'm going to be very practical. I want to give you a few tools because all of us at least know about somebody who went through something really hard. Or maybe something really hard happened to you. And for all of us, it would be different. For all of us, it would be different. Maybe you were small and your mom passed away and your life fell apart. Maybe you were the boy in the house and your dad died when you were young. And you had to be strong. You had to take care of the family. And it was just such a hard thing for you to go through. Maybe you went through a divorce yourself. Or maybe your parents divorced. Maybe your mom walked out on your dad when you were really small. Or maybe your dad walked out on your mom, your hero. Your hero walked out and your life fell apart. Or maybe you were abused in some other way. Anything hard, I just want to encourage you this morning that the God that we serve, the God that we sang about this morning, that His love sets us free, in the midst of that thing, He can be with you and He can turn it around for your good and for His glory. Amen? He can turn something horrible around for your good and for His glory. And I want to take you to a scripture this morning that all of you know, Psalm 91. The first two verses. I know this is the famous psalm that we all quote, hey, when it comes to God's protection and, you know, that 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it's not going to come near us. And I think God just gave me a whole new perspective on Psalm 91. He gave me a whole new understanding of His protection through the story of Hetty Brits. He gave me a whole new understanding. And it makes me feel so safe and so secure, because regardless of anything bad that happens around me, I still know that God protects. And I still know that He's with us. And I will explain it to you this morning. I'll explain exactly what I mean. So let's just read verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And I want to share a few things with you this morning that will make that secret place for you a reality. Amen? That secret place where nothing can steal from us, where nothing can harm us, where nothing can hurt us. I want to share a few things that will make that a reality. Because I think often we wish and we want to be in that place of safety, but we see so many things happening around us that leaves us with a lot of questions and a lot of fear. Because does God really protect, as he says in Psalm 91? Does He really protect? Is He really there for us all the time? And I want to address all of these questions this morning. Okay, so I want to share four things. It's going to make it really clear and really real for you, that secret place. Okay, so let's look at the first one. To enter into a place of safety that Psalm 91 talks about, and to stay there, because sometimes we are there, but sometimes we move out. I don't know if any one of you have ever experienced that, but I often experience in my own life, sometimes I feel that I'm in that place of safety, but sometimes I move out. So now, to move into that place and to stay there, the first thing that is really, really important is we have to believe the truth about God and about who He is in our lives. We have to believe the truth that in the darkest, darkest times of our lives, that God did not fail you and He did not leave you and He did not forsake you, but He was there. He was actually right next to you. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. A buckler is a small shield, for those of you who don't know. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Can we say that? God's truth, okay, let's say it a bit differently. God's truth shall be my shield and buckler. God's truth shall be my shield and buckler. God's truth is the thing that protects. Not an alarm system and armed security and all of those things that we have in our houses. Not anointing every window in your house. And I'm aware I forgot to anoint that window, so that must be the reason why I got robbed. No, God's truth is the thing that protects us. That is our shield. That is our buckler. That is the thing that makes us feel safe. His truth. So I want to address one lie. There's lots of lies that we believe. For those of you who attended our seminar that the weekend, we addressed a lot of lies. Okay? And it's so liberating just to come to a place of truth. But I want to address one lie this morning. The feeling that you have that God was not there in your darkest moment. The feeling that you have that God was not there, that He dropped you, that He was not faithful to you, that He left you alone, that is a lie. It's a lie. The feeling you have that when you needed God the most, that He was not there, it's a lie. Now, I want you to listen carefully now. The power of that lie is it leaves you with the fear and the uncertainty that God will forsake you again. Okay, the power is not only that you feel that God has forsaken you. It makes you feel that what waits around the next corner. Because if God has dropped you once, why would He not drop you again? That is the power of that lie. The power is, if God has forsaken me once, He might forsake me twice. He might forsake me for the rest of my life. That is a lie. Okay, God was there. You know, in the book that Hetty Brits wrote, it's called Fearless Free. It's only available in Afrikaans at this stage, unfortunately, but hopefully they will translate. She said, if I look away long enough from the robbers and the guns and everything that tells me that God was not there, then I see Him. If I look away long enough from everything that tells me that God was not there, then I see Him. There were so many things happening that night that, you know, God's hand was written all over that night. Even though she was raped, even though they were robbed, God's hand was written all over that night. Their kids, they have three kids who did not wake up at all. It was like a couple of hours that, you know, that they were in their house. There were so many things. I don't have time to go into that. But God's hand and His love was written all over that night. You see, because it's only lies that can take us captive. It's only lies. The feeling that God has forsaken you is much bigger than anything bad that can happen to you. Because it makes you feel completely unprotected. And that is the lie that we need to address. There's nothing bad that God cannot turn around for your good and for His glory. And I'm going to say it over and over this morning, but that is the truth. There's nothing bad, there's nothing hard, there's nothing too horrible in our lives that God cannot turn around for your good and for His glory. And that is the truth that we need to believe. Psalm 27 verse 5 says, in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. There's that secret place again. That is not a physical place. It's something in our hearts. We move into a place of safety because we know God will never leave me nor forsake me. Never. Even in the midst of something bad. You see, because the true us, the true you, are hidden inside of you. The true you is your spirit and your soul inside of your body. The true you is not your body. Okay? It's not your body. It's the true you. It's hidden inside of you. It's hidden. So God can actually protect your spirit in a very, very dark time in your life. And you will be completely undamaged by anything the devil or the world or people or anything throws at you. I remember about 2 years ago, I had a dream about two guys attacking me with guns. I don't often have these dreams, okay, but that one was very memorable. And they were chasing me with guns, and I was running away. And all of a sudden, a bulletproof safe closed around me. It's like, chick, 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 chick. Okay? And they couldn't see me. I literally disappeared from their sight. And I could hear that they were looking for me, but they couldn't see me anymore. I was completely safe. And the next moment, that bulletproof safe changed into my boy's room. He was 2 years old at that stage. He's now four. And it changed into his room, and then the next moment, we were playing on the floor. Vian and I were just playing with his toys. And I could hear, I could still hear gunshots and things happening outside, but we were playing in his room. And it made such an impression on me, and God said to me, that is the secret place. Where there could actually be war happening around you. There could actually be people coming for your life. But I can close off everything and you can have joy and just play with your boy. And it changed my heart in a dramatic way, because I realized that it's not a physical place of protection, but it's a place in my heart that I have to believe. If I doubt that God is for me, if I doubt that He might maybe, you know, not love me as much as He loves somebody else, we move out of that place of safety. We have to believe that God is for us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is a safe place. The second thing that we need to do if we want to be in that safe place is we have to come to a place of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a whole topic on its own, but I just need to say this morning, if we look in Luke 3, 23 verse 34, it says, it was the prayer that Jesus prayed when He was hanging on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. If we can come to a place of forgiveness, if somebody harmed us, that is the secret place, a place of complete safety in God. And if you blame yourself for something that has happened, if you feel guilty, if you blame yourself, if you feel it's your mistake, it's your fault, it's all because of you, you have to forgive yourself this morning. You have to come to a place where you say, I forgive myself. If you blame your husband, your wife, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, if you blame your mom, your dad, your teacher, your best friend, if there's anything in your heart that's still like a stone, it hurts when you think about it. You have to come to a place where you say, God, I forgive. You know, it's never God's fault when something happens, but I think sometimes we even need to come to a place where we forgive God because we blame God. Not that God is someone that we need to forgive, but in our own hearts, we need to come to a place where we say, God, I forgive you. I heard about a story about a woman who, she came to a place where she said she had to forgive God, and it was like this big load falling off her shoulders. Because she could just say, God, I forgive you. Even though theologically it's not incorrect that we need to forgive God, okay? Just take that bear that in mind. But sometimes we need to come to a place where we realize it was not God's fault. And it will, I tell you, there will be a heavy burden dropping from you. The third thing we need to do is we have to choose love over fear. We have to choose love over fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We all know the scripture. But I want to show you something new in this that God showed me. You know, in the book that Eddie wrote, she says that night where she was lying in her room, this scripture appeared in front of her with fear on her left and power, love, and a sound mind on the right. It was like She could see that. And then she knew that she can choose. She can ride there and then choose whether she's going to fear and be a victim of fear for the rest of her life, or whether she's going to choose love. And she said that night, she said, God, I choose love. How is that possible? How can you do that? How can you come to a point, something so horrible just happened to you, and you say, God, I do not choose fear, I choose love. Let me show you in the scripture how this is possible. I believe God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He empowers us to choose love, which will lead to a sound mind. I'm going to say that again. God has not given us, He does not give us a spirit of fear, but He empowers us to choose love. He empowers us to receive His love and to extend that love to somebody else. It's not something out of ourselves. We can't work it up. We can't love like Jesus loves by ourselves. It's not part of our nature. It's part of God's nature that He imparts to us. But because God is in us, because He lives inside of us, He can empower us to choose love and to give love and to receive love. And that will lead to a sound mind. All of you maybe have been through trauma in your life will know that sometimes it can feel that you go crazy. You can literally feel as if you're losing your mind because of that thing that was so hard for you. And this scripture is so profound because God doesn't want us to lose our minds. Okay? He wants us to have a sound mind. He wants us to be able to think clearly, to be able to forgive, to be able to not fear. He doesn't want us to walk with trauma in our hearts for the rest of our lives. He wants to empower us to receive love and to extend love. And by doing that, have a sound mind. Amen? It really changed my life when I saw that, because we often just quote, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. I'm not going to fear. And I believe if we just understand that God can empower us, the Holy Spirit can change our hearts. He can change our hearts. How can you love somebody who raped you? How can you do that? Only by God who empowers us to love, to receive His love and to extend love. And this is so profound and it's so difficult to understand, but this is what happened to this woman. And I just say to God, Lord, I want what she has. I want that freedom. I want that fearless life where even if something so horrible happens to me, I would still be able to love. I would still be able to believe that God can turn it around for my good and for His glory. Amen? We have to trust Him with our lives. We have to trust Him. So I said we need to believe the truth. We cannot believe a lie. Then we are outside of that secret place. We have to come to a place of forgiveness. Even forgiving yourself. Even forgiving God. Even saying, God, it was not your fault. I see it for what it is. We need to come to a place where we choose love over fear. Where we choose love. Where we choose love over fear. And we have to trust Him with our lives. Romans 8, also a well-known scripture. In the Amplified, it says in verse 38, for I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about the worst thing that you fear. Maybe your worst nightmare. I want you to think about it right now. And I want to declare that not even that can separate you from the love of God. Amen? Not even that thing that you fear the most can separate you from the love of Jesus. You see, and this is what happened to Hedy Brits on that night. God made her feel like a bride. And it's only the God of gods and the King of kings who can do that. But he made her feel like a bride. He made her feel special. He gave her an expectation that everything's going to be okay. And not even your worst nightmare, your worst fear, your worst anything that you fear can separate you from the love of God. Even if it does happen. Even if your worst fear comes true, it still can't separate you from the love of God. And you have to believe it. You have to believe it. There's something about our God that lives inside of us that will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, there's people who ask, so what kind of God will allow something like this to happen to his children? What kind of God will allow something like this to happen to his children? Now, I want to ask a few other questions. Who is this God that makes a woman feel like a bride on the night that she's being raped? Who is this God? Because I want to know him. Who is this God that puts true forgiveness in the heart of a husband whose wife has been violated? I want to know that God as well. True forgiveness. Who is this God? Who is this God? Who is the God that makes even rape work together for good? Because this is what happened to Hedy Brits. God made it work together for good for her life. Who is this God to make sure that not her husband or her children has any symptoms of trauma to this day? Who is this God to make sure that not a husband or a wife or a child who went through something like this has any symptoms of trauma? Who is this God? Because I want to know him. I want to know him. If we look away long enough from everything in this world that leaves us with questions about a good God, we will see him. We will see him. And you will experience him. And I really believe that God wants to comfort you this morning. You know, for some of us, maybe we didn't go through anything as traumatic as this. Maybe you feel, but oh, this thing I have is so small compared to other people's hardships. But for you, it's big. And if it's big for you, it's big for God. If whatever you've been through, if whatever you're going through at the moment, if it's big for you, it's big for God. And he wants to comfort you. He wants to bless you. He wants to shower you with his love. He wants to convince you that he was there. He wants to convince you this morning that he was there. Matthew 5 verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Can we say that? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Comfort. There's something about God's comfort that can change your life. It can change your life in such a way that you can actually now glorify God for that bad thing that happened. It doesn't make sense. Don't try to figure it out. But God's comfort is so powerful that it can bring you to a place where you say, I don't want my life anything else. If I can rewrite my own story, I would have put that chapter in. Because of the end result of God's comfort in my life. That is the power of God's comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 Verse 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Isn't this an amazing, amazing scripture? I just want to read it again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." To be comforted by God is so powerful. It can change any bad thing into something good for you, and it can release that comfort to other people who desperately need it, who desperately need it. There's a world out there, like John shared this morning, there's a world out there who are desperate to see God's goodness, desperate to see His love, desperate to receive hope. Because the media is just full of hopeless stories. And God wants to comfort you this morning. He wants to comfort us so that we can comfort other people. And I want to ask Roselda just to come share her story. She has a beautiful, beautiful story of something that happened in her life that was not good. But God turned it around in such a powerful way that she can glorify Him for that today. And yeah, let's just give her a hand. She's a brave woman.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to share my story with you today. It's just basically the story of my life. My life started like very, had everything going for me, if I can put it that way. My parents were very loving, and they loved each other dearly, and I had a perfect home to grow up in. When I was 4 years old, I came across death for the first time in my life when my grandmother passed away of cancer. It was quite real, and we all remember my grandfather crying at her grave, and it was such raw grief. And everybody was concerned about my grandfather because he was such an upright man, and everybody respected him, and he was a good man and a good father and good husband. So they decided that he was going to make turns to live with the children. So everybody accommodated him for as long as they can, and he ended up staying with us 6 months of the year. And it was very exciting to have your grandfather live with you. And my brothers and I sort of took turns to sleep with him at night in his bed. We sort of fought about it, like every night. No, it's my turn, it was your turn last night, and it was very exciting. Until one night, in the middle of the night, he started molesting me. I'm overwhelmed by my own story. Feels like I'm telling someone else's story. And at first, I immediately realized that I didn't like what was happening, but I was like 4 or 5. And he's an adult. And sometimes adults do things that you don't like. So, okay, just sit it through, sort of. So it continued. And the second year he came to stay with us, I told my brothers, they can have my turns as well. I like my room. I would like to sleep in my room. So they were very excited, and none of this happened to them, by the way. So they took my turns over, and I thought, okay, this unpleasant thing is over. and we're going on. And I was, I think, 6 years old by then. And then after a few months, he started coming to my room at night. I think that's where it got worst, or the worst, because then I started living in fear. The first year was sort of okay because I knew it was going to happen at night and I could sort of handle it. But then I started living in fear because it could happen any time of the day or night. He would sort of find ways of getting us alone. And this fear was actually the worst that controlled me. Okay, so this continued throughout my whole primary school years and up to when I was 16 years old, on and off. Obviously, sometimes it was better for a few months and then it would start getting worse again. And he passed away when I was 16 or 17 years old. And then actually did I have to sort of start dealing with that. Up to then, I was just in coping mode, and then I had to start dealing with it. I must just add, like, through this whole time, my parents introduced me to God at a very early age, and I really found that comfort that Sonika was talking about. Throughout this whole time, I would feel God, and I would experience God, and I'm lucky to never have blamed God for this. I always just felt he's my comforter and he's the one I can go to for that comfort. Okay, so then I was in high school, which is already an awkward phase to be in. But now I had this to deal with. And the Lord kept giving me this one scripture. I'm going to read it to you. It says, it's two separate verses in Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. Thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. And then verse 18, which I was at first a bit offended with, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. So quite a few times God would give me the scripture and I would read it over and over again. And it sort of became like fast food for me, like a comfort that I would run to this specific verse, feel the comfort, and then go back to moping, which was a bad habit. I turned to self-pity and depression and considered suicide quite a few times. I felt guilty for not bringing what happened into the light so maybe my grandfather could be saved. I felt like, okay, now his salvation is lost because of me. I felt ugly, disgusting, worthless, and yeah, like I was going nowhere. So basically hopeless. But every now and again I would run to the scripture and take the comfort and then go on. But then one day God came to me and like just was sort of firm and said, this is over, just coming here for comfort, I want to set you free. I don't just want to comfort you for a short while. I want to set you free. And I asked God, like, how can I forget these things? How can you ask me to forget it? It's not just something to forget. It's like such a big part of my life, and it happened like I can't forget it. But then God revealed to me, I won't be able to forget it if I think about it the whole time, because I was under the impression I'm this broken being and God is this repairman and I have to take every small piece to him and he repairs it and I put it back in place and then I take the next thing and he repairs it and I put it back in place. But then he just came to reveal to me that what he wants to do is to send me away on holiday, like extreme makeovers. Send me away on holiday and to rest in him and when I return to my home, it would be fixed. Which sounded like a fairy tale. but I asked God to lead me in it. And he showed me to focus on his love and to live in thankfulness, which was difficult. And it was a mindset that had to change. But he helped me through it. And within a week, I sort of got into a pattern of not thinking about it, which wasn't denial, just focusing on God's glory rather than God's love and the things that he's doing in me and the things that he wants to do on me, in me. And I kept reading my promise over and over again and just focusing on other things and his love and his truth and his power. So over a period of like, it must have been 4 or 5 months that I was just on this holiday, and it was really a special time, like just almost like breaking away from that person and just being with God. And that didn't matter what happened. So after a few months' time, God told me it's time to return to my home and time to just like go back to who I am in and just, yeah, think about again what happened. And I was a bit scared at first. But it was like a miracle when I thought about it again, like for the first time, everything that happened to me. It felt like it was a different person that had happened to me. Like I didn't experience any pain anymore. I didn't experience any more shame. God made me feel beautiful and like his princess and his bride. And he restored me completely and made me a whole woman. And as I stand here today, I can honestly say that it has no influence on me at all. I'm a new being and God has done a new thing. And he's using it to... for healing, and like Sonika mentioned now as well, like if I have to rewrite my life, I would enter that chapter definitely, because the things I've learned and the way I've learned to hold on to God and to be in that secret place with him is something I wouldn't change for anything in the world. Yeah, and today I'm happily married to a wonderful man, and he has no influence on us. I would just like to praise the Lord for that.
So how do we allow God to comfort us? How do we allow him to... how do we allow him to comfort us? To do what he did for Azalea, to do it for you. How does he do that? Don't get distracted by these beautiful girls, okay? I just want to say one more thing. And they're going to bless us with a dance. I had a picture in my heart about this morning, about girls dancing in white. And yeah, I really believe it's going to bless you. But how do we allow God to rewrite our stories? How do we allow him to do that? We allow him to replace lies with the truth. We allow him to replace anger and bitterness with forgiveness. We allow him to give us a sound mind by helping us to choose love over fear. And we allow him to replace pain with hope and trust. God wants to comfort you this morning. He wants to rewrite your story. He wants you to go back in time, face that situation, whatever it is, and allow him to show you the truth that he was there. He wants to take you back in time, rewrite your story, and where God was not in the picture, in your opinion, he wants to show you where he was in that difficult time. He wants to replace all bitterness, all hatred, all pain, all fear, all anger. He wants to replace that with a beautiful love that will enable you to comfort other people. Amen. So I just wanna ask them to dance and just allow God through their dance, just allow him to comfort you. Allow him to rewrite your story. Amen.
I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground?
Stand with me. Let's just give God an opportunity to work in our hearts. Let's just all close our eyes. Let's just give the Holy Spirit a moment to speak to us. Father, I just release your comfort this morning. I release your presence, Lord. I release your presence, God. I release new hope. I release your love. Thank you, God, that you can make something beautiful out of us, out of dust. I worship you.
All this earth, could all that is lost ever be?
I really light that God wants to minister to some of you this morning. So I just want to ask for people who can come pray, just to come first. Or I also want to say that if you normally pray for people, but you rather feel you want to be prayed for this morning, that's fine. Don't worry this morning about your position in church, about how long you know God, or anything like that. If you feel you need to be prayed for and just deal with God this morning, I just want to invite you to come forward. Don't be scared. Don't hold back. I had a word for this morning that God wants to complete the work that He has started in your life. Maybe some of you have been through a period of healing, but when you think back, there's still pain. God wants to bring something to completion this morning. So I just want to ask that you come forward. Also, people who can pray, if you can just all come forward right now. I know God wants to touch people. I know God wants to bring complete healing and restoration. If the people who want to pray can just face forward, please, and the rest can just stand facing me. Today is the day of salvation. This is the word we got during our prayer meeting before the time. God said to me, today is the day of salvation. Do not go home. Do not leave this building if you feel that God wants to do a complete work in your heart. Please, give God an opportunity this morning to rewrite your story. Give Him an opportunity to comfort you. Give Him an opportunity to show His love, to show that He cares, to show that He was there every moment.
Before the facilitators pray with you, I just want us to make a sort of a declaration. Let's just close our eyes. Just say the following. It's in a sense of a prayer. Say, Father God, I thank You that You're a good God. You're my daddy God. And You are so loving. You are so powerful that You can take the worst in my life and turn it around into something beautiful. God, I surrender to You the worst of my life. Lord, let an oasis spring up in that place. And may Your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.